And as my, I guess, final minute here on the radio, I didn't script anything. I didn't write anything. Lord knows I can't ad lib, but I'll try one here. I just, as a young broadcaster, when I started in the Quad Cities, I always kind of wondered if I could work at a radio station somewhere in Chicago. That was kind of the goal. You know, I don't care where in Chicago. It could have been any station in Chicago. That was a major market thing, and to get a job and maybe work a couple of months before they fired me at a radio station in Chicago, I just kind of wanted to know if I could do it. And little did I realize I'd get the chance to do it at these legendary call letters, WGN, and the chance to work at this radio station which was such history. And it was a good ride. I've had fun, and thank you. Thank you.
Well, that was, and he did do it, Spike Odell. Hi, Spike.
Steve Dale, the man, the myth, the legend. How are you, buddy?
I'm okay. And you know what? When I wrote you, and this is absolutely true, I thought, is he ever going to even remember who the heck I am? So thank you for coming on a Sunday.
Are you kidding me? How can we forget Steve Dale?
Well, I'm not kidding, no.
You have done so much for Chicagoland and their pets, for me personally and my pets. I can't forget you, dude.
Well, I suppose this is where we start. It's the most controversial, most political question I can ask you or anyone. What happened?
Right.
What happened to your mustard?
To the mustard? Well, we sold it. We sold the recipe. We sold it all out, and we got out of the business. We made over $1 million that we gave back to charity with Bite Your Butt stuff. We had several products, and it was a good run. It really was. I had no idea it would work like that, but it certainly did. It was fun. But it was getting pretty time consuming, and I had to buckle down and settle on get to work actually. instead of slinging mustard.
Well, so many texts here already, Spike. I mean, you've been on with me what, 2 minutes? Not even. And I love Spike. I love you. Tell Spike I
love
him.
You.
Yeah. So many people just saying that, Spike. So here's my question: why the heck did you go away?
Well, that was the plan. My wife and I always said we were going to retire at age 55, and I don't think anybody believed us, but we did. We wanted to get out there, travel the world. We got to do a little of that. We ended up really taking care of my mother, who came down with dementia, Alzheimer's, and she became a full-time job, but you know what? That's what you do.
Yeah.
You take care of your mama.
Yep. And what are you doing now?
I am the poster boy for retirement. If you look that up and look for posters on retirement, my face is on it.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't. I honestly spent a lot of time. I paint. I took up my watercolor painting. I do that a lot. I've been selling a lot of that. I've been helping out a charity with the proceeds for that. I thought the pandemic really made me buckle down and take it serious and go, full metal watercolor. I wanted to learn how to be better at it and do better. So I really knuckled down and worked hard on it. And every painting's a little better than the last one. So we keep doing that and having fun with that. I never knew I could even draw a stick figure, let alone do watercolor. So that's kind of consuming my time these days.
What motivated you to start painting?
I've always loved wildlife art. I always have to stop and look at it. And I thought, man, I'd like to be able to paint that quail or that pheasant or that deer or that horse or whatever. So I bought the material and thought, I'm going to try it. Oh, it was ugly to start with. but you start learning, you start reading, you start watching, and you learn the little tricks and the trades And I find a lot of peace, a lot of joy with that. I really have enjoyed that. And somebody said, "Are you an artist?" And I got to thinking, I don't know. Am I an artist? And I guess the definition of an artist is if you paint something and it pleases you, then that's your artist. You're an artist. So I guess that's what I'm doing in retirement.
You're an artist. You know, one of the things that happened over the years at WGN, I want to talk about some of these that sticks in folks' mind, is, and I remember this, the day I heard on the radio about a house fire at your house. Now, you know, I look this up, and you tell me if it's correct, at least a golf bag bearing the name of Tiger Woods and a guitar and a book about the Beatles were saved, but that's about it. Including Otis, your little dog.
Yeah, we lost Otis, and as you know, I have always said this, I would let the house burn and everything in it if I could have that little dog back. But sadly, that's not the way it turned out. You know, we had a basement, and I had a lot of memorabilia that I collected on the wall, encased little frames, you know, glassed-in frames on the wall. So the stuff that was on the wall, a lot of that was salvageable. I did lose a lot of stuff. Yes, I did, a lot of stuff. But the stuff that was on the wall, you know, when the fire trucks came and the water poured into the house, it went down the back of it. So they could kind of fix the frames and all that stuff, the smoke damage. So quite a bit of that stuff that was hanging was okay. It was salvageable. But the stuff that was on the floor, the stuff that was in the attic, the stuff, you know, all that stuff, boom, gone.
I'm supposed to ask you here, as I have so many texts, I cannot keep up with them, truly. But one I see about your invention that every car needs, I don't know even what that means.
Somebody actually remembered that. Oh, I had an invention that, you can't use it anymore because everybody has one. I had an invention that everybody would have to have in their car. This was before cell phones. It was two reflective metal pieces that you could set up on a tripod outside the front of your headlight to reflect light back to a tire if you had to change it in the dead of night. Nobody ever had that. Nobody thought of it. It's cheap. It was easy. It was just two reflective surfaces to beam back some light to change your tire. But nowadays, everybody's got a cell phone. You just, you know, turn a cell phone light on. So I guess I was too late with my invention.
You could have been what you possibly, I mean, what is that show where you have an invention and you go on that show on television?
Yeah. Shark Tank or
something.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. You could have been, or at least if it was, it could have been Trout Tank or something like that you could have appeared on. The coffee cup collection, a listener at 630 says that he or she has the collection. Where's the collection now?
Somebody has the collection
now? I don't know. I'm just reading these texts, apparently.
Well, it was up at the Door County Bakery up there in Door County. I didn't know someone took it. Maybe we need to open an investigation.
I know. I hope our newsroom is paying attention. 2:15 now on WGN. We are talking with the one and only Spike Odell. 312-981-7200. You must know that because you're texting me. I can't keep up with them. Or you can call in as well. We'll be back with Spike next. WGN, it is 219. We are talking with the great Spike Odell. Spike, I think it was Larry Lujack, back when I was an intern at that radio station, who took time away, I know that, and talked to me periodically. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but something to the effect of, you don't talk at listeners, you talk with them, and you bring them in as if you're talking just, they're sitting across the table. You had the ability to do that. What you did on the radio was effortless, or it seemed it. Those who have ever been on the radio, well, we know it's not effortless, but you made it seem that way. Spike, what was sort of the secret to doing that, do you think?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's I think it's probably, for me, it's genetics. my dad was, he was one of those guys that everybody just gravitated around him. He was, he just would hold court. My wife, she comes, her father is a minister, her mother, a minister's wife, and of course they were out at socializing with all the church picnics and this and that, and talking and conversing with people is just, it's natural, so it just kind of, that kind of wore off by osmosis. It was just You know, I always tell everybody, I made a living for what I went to detention in high school for, talking too much.
Well, and you talked to everybody, including lots of different celebrities. Do you have any favorites among those celebrity conversations, or maybe some that went south that you can tell us about?
I kicked one person out of the studio.
What?
Just one. I'm often asked who was the most, what was the best interview you ever did, and it's not a huge entertainment name, but you know me, I'm a space guy. The best interview I ever did was Alan Shepard, the first American astronaut into space, and then he went on Apollo 14. He walked on the moon, played golf on the moon. We spent an hour together, and that was the best interview that I was caught up in. I didn't want it to end. I did that. I've always asked who the most beautiful woman was I ever interviewed, because there were a lot of beautiful women in the studio.
Yes.
All these guys want to know, who's the most beautiful woman in person? I always tell them, and it kind of surprises people, Jacqueline Smith just took my breath away, and Donna Summer, the disco queen.
Yeah.
Donna Summer came in, sat down, and I thought, my gosh, that's a beautiful woman, and just as sweet as could be.
Did you tell either of those women?
No, because I thought I'd be a sexist pig if I said that to you.
Now I want to know, it's just us, Spike, and you've been away. They can't do anything to you. Who is that person that you tossed out of the studio?
Well, it broke my heart, because I was a big fan of this person. I was really looking forward to talking to him. It just broke my heart to do it, because he didn't want to be there. You could just tell his answers were short and snippy and not very nice. And I said to him during the break, I said, you don't want to be here, do you? And he goes, not really. I said, there's the door. See you later. It was Davy Jones from the Monkees.
Wow. And I just had, Davy Jones has since passed away, but I just had the only Monkey who is surviving. A couple of weeks ago, he was on this show.
Oh, so, was he really? Yeah.
That
broke my heart, because I love the Monkees. I really did. And I love Davy Jones. It just, I don't know, he probably was having a bad day. I didn't really want to say it with him being dead now, but sadly, that's the guy that I asked to leave,
And Mickey Dolenz, who we talked to just a couple of weeks ago, was very nice, but I'll never play...
Oh, Mickey's a great guy.
I'll never play I'm a Daydream Believer again after hearing that story. Spike, I'm told, and I need to, and we talked about it earlier with this dude, you might have remembered him, Tom Peterson, I think his name is?
I had never heard of the guy.
Yeah, I thought you'd say that. So we were talking about Bob Collins, and we were talking about, okay, Tom said... Good afternoon, Bobby said. I'm going to go for a flight. How did you hear about what happened, and what was it like the next morning you had to go on the radio?
Yeah. I was actually listening earlier when Tom was on the air with you, and I heard his story about him seeing him in the hall. I was coming up the steps. You know, remember the old steps at the Trib Tower there?
I do.
For the parking lot. I was coming up the steps to the first floor. And I was almost at the first landing, and Bob was coming out of the door. And I said, hey, big boy, what's up? He said, I'm going flying. And I said, yeah, beautiful day, have fun. As he turned around, or as he went past me, I turned around and pinched him on the butt. I just goosed him. I mean, Bob was so jumpy all the time. You know, he'd come turn around the corner, I'd goose him, and he'd go, ah! You know, like that. That's kind of the guy he was.
What did he do?
So I goosed him as he went past me.
What did he do? He went like what?
Well, he said, when I goosed him, he says, oh, I think I love you. And that's the last thing he ever said to me.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's just, it was funny. It was, I guess those were great words to have, but... Yeah, like Tom said, we knew it was Bob, probably a couple hours before we could say it. You know, everybody in the radio business wants to beat everybody to the punch with a story. That's one we didn't care to beat anybody to the punch with because we wanted to be respectful to Christine, his wife, and make sure that she knew what was going on before we said anything and surprised anybody. And we wanted to make sure the T's were crossed, the I's were dotted, and we were absolutely correct on the story too. So sad day. The next day, I was numb. I know there's a lot of audio from that day that goes around, but I've never heard any of it. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
It's just too sad to remember.
Yeah, I understand that. And then to fill those shoes, you know, so legendary in Chicago. I mean, who does morning drives here is going to be legendary. I mean, Bob Surratt, you're stuck with it. You're going to be legendary now. And, you know, the same was true for Wally Phillips. Same true for Uncle Bobby and for you. But to fill those shoes, did you actually think, how do I do this? Because no one could be like Bobby Collins.
I tell you, early on, the first, you know, for the first year, actually, I kind of felt like I was just still filling in for Bob. But there was, and I think it's okay to say this, enough time has passed, and I'm sure even some of the bosses would agree with me. I was very micromanaged that first year, 6 months anyway, after Bob died. They were really riding hard over me, so it was a show that, like Bob would do. Matter of fact, they would say several times, that's not what Bob Collins would do. Mm. And finally, it was getting to the point to where I was a little angry. And I just had a sit-down with him. I said, hey, guys, I'm not Bob Collins. You know, Bob did things the way Bob did. I'm Spike Odell. Spike does things the way Spike does. Please let me do that. And something happened after that conversation that they did, and things were so much better, smoother, so much hitting the marks and the ratings that we wanted to hit. And it required a little conversation. I understand management's situation too. They, you know, Bob was the franchise, and you know, everything's riding on that morning show. And they didn't want to mess it up. I get that part. But I felt like, you know, I wanted to be me. I couldn't be Bob Collins. Nobody could be Bob Collins. I wanted to be me. And that's the conversation we had. And it was much better after that.
How long were you here?
22 years. 22 years.
What was the best part of being at this radio station? I mean, it's the little clip we played at the very beginning here, you said, I wanted to be in Chicago, but I never dreamed I'd be at WGN.
Yeah, never did.
Yeah.
Never did.
What was the best part of that?
I tell everybody, working at WGN was a dream come true. It was, you know, I had to pinch myself. Still did, even later, you know, 20 years later, I was pinching myself. But it was one of those jobs, and I'm not kidding you when I say this, I could not wait to wake up and go to work. You know, I did the afternoon show for a while. I did some middays for a couple of years, and then the morning show. And I could not wait to wake up and go to work. And I realize how blessed I am for that, because not a lot of people can say that. A lot of people wake up and they go, oh, my gosh, I got to go to work. I had jobs like that where I woke up and didn't want to go to work. But the radio work, it was just a joy to do. It was just so much fun. So much fun.
Well, you may not miss radio, Spike, but radio misses you. WGN misses you. Chicago misses you. But what's most important is that you're healthy and you're doing well and doing all that artwork. Thank you very much for coming on a Sunday afternoon.
Steve Dale, I appreciate you thinking of me, buddy. I really do. I wish you well. And congratulations on your, what, 25 years?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, yes.
Holy moly, I got underwear that old.
And I don't want to know what that underwear looks like. And I promise if I see you, I'm not going to pinch you. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate it. Say hi to everybody I know up there, and I appreciate all the kind words.
You just did. Thank you very much, Spike. That's Spike Odell. There he goes.